জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারী, গোপীজন বল্লভ গিরিবর ধারী, জয় গোপীজন বল্লভ গিরিবর ধারী, যশোদা নন্দন ব্রজ জন রঞ্জন, যশোদা নন্দন ব্রজ জন রঞ্জন, যমুনা তীর বনচারী, যমুনা তীর বনচারী, জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারী, জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারী, গোপীজন বল্লভ গিরিবর ধারী, গোপীজন বল্লভ গিরিবর ধারী, যশোদা নন্দন ব্রজ জন রঞ্জন, যশোদা নন্দন ব্রজ জন রঞ্জন, যমুনা তীর বনচারী, যমুনা তীর বনচারী, জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারী, জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারী, জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারী,
জয় ওং বিষ্ণুপাদ পরমহংস পরিব্রাজকাচার্য অষ্টোত্তরশত শ্রী শ্রীমদ অভয় চরণারবিন্দ ভক্তি বেদান্ত স্বামী প্রভুপাদ কি জয়, অনন্ত কোটি বৈষ্ণব বৃন্দ কি জয়, নামাচার্য শিল হরিদাস ঠাকুর কি জয়, প্রেম সে কহ শ্রীকৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য প্রভু নিত্যানন্দ শ্রী অদ্বৈত গদাধর শিবাসাদি গৌর ভক্তবৃন্দ কি জয়, শ্রী শ্রী রাধা কৃষ্ণ গোপ গোপীনাথ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की जाय। श्री श्री रुक्मिणी द्वारकाधीश की जाय। श्री श्री जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्रा महारानी की जाय। श्री श्री गौर निताय की जाय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जाय। समवेत भक्त वृंद की जाय। गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि गो। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunnavadi Paschatana Deshatari. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्तं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर भवती नैष्टिकी।
सो As a preparation for Janmashtami, Krishna's divine appearance, we are reading from Krishna book now, which is actually the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And I was told that you finished the first chapter yesterday. Archita Prabhu told me that we finished reading the first chapter yesterday. Today we are going to read from the second chapter of the Krishna book, which is actually the second chapter of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Prayers by the demigods for Lord Krishna in the womb. King Kamsa not only occupied the kingdoms of the Jadu, Bhoja and Andhaka dynasties and the kingdom of Shurasena, but he also made alliances with all other demoniac kings as follows: the demon Pralamba, demon Baka, demon Chanura, demon Trinavarta, demon Aghasura, demon Mushtika, demon Arishta, demon Dvivida, demon Putana, demon Keshi, and demon Dhenuka. At that time, Jarasandha was the king of Magadha province, known at present as Bihar state. Thus, by his diplomatic policy, Kamsa consolidated the most powerful kingdom of his time under the protection of Jarasandha. He made further alliances with such kings as Vanasura and Bhaumasura until he was the strongest. Then he began to behave most inimically towards the Jadu dynasty into which Krishna was to take his birth. Being harassed by Kamsa, the kings of the Jadu, Bhoj and Andhaka dynasties began to take shelter in different states such as the state of Kurus, the state of Panchal and the states known as Kekaya, Shalva, Vidarbha, Nishadha, Videha, and Kosala. Kamsa broke the solidarity of Kamsa broke the solidarity. I'm sorry, Kamsa broke the solidarity of the Jadu kingdom as well as the Bhoja and Andhaka. He made his position the most solid within the vast tract of land known at that time as Bharatvarsha. When Kamsa killed the six babies of Devaki and Vasudev, one after another, many friends and relatives of Kamsa approached him and requested him to discontinue these heinous activities. But all of them became worshippers of Kamsa. When Devaki became pregnant for the seventh time, a plenary expansion of Krishna, known as Ananta, appeared within her womb. Devaki was overwhelmed both with jubilation and lamentation. She was joyful, for she could understand that Lord Vishnu had taken shelter within her womb. But at the same time, she was sorry that as soon as her child would come out, Kamsa would kill him. At that time, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, being compassionate upon the fearful condition of the Jadus due to the atrocities committed by Kamsa, ordered the appearance of his Jogamaya, or his internal potency. Krishna is the Lord of the universe, but he is specially the Lord of the Jadu dynasty. This Jogamaya is the principal potency of the Personality of Godhead. In the Vedas, it is stated that the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has multipotencies. Parashya Shaktir Bibidhaiva Shruyate. All the different potencies are acting externally and internally, and Jogamaya is the chief of all potencies. He ordered the appearance of Jogamaya in the land of Brajabhumi in Vrindavan, which is always decorated and full with beautiful cows. In Vrindavan, Rohini, one of the wives of Vasudev, was residing at the house of King Nanda and Queen Jashoda. Not only Rohini, but many others in the Jadu dynasty were scattered all over the country due to their fear of the atrocities of Kamsa. Some of them were even living in the caves of the mountains. The Lord thus informed Jogamaya, under the imprisonment of Kamsa are Devaki and Vasudev. And at the present moment, my plenary expansion, Shesha, is within the womb of Devaki. You can arrange the transfer of Shesha from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. After this arrangement, I am personally going to appear in the womb of Devaki with my full potencies. Then I shall appear as the son of Devaki and Vasudev, and you shall appear as the daughter of Nanda and Jashoda in Vrindavan. Since you will appear as my contemporary sister, people within the world will worship you with all kinds of valuable presentations, incense, candles, flowers, and offerings of sacrifice. You shall quickly satisfy their desires for sense gratification. People who are after materialistic affection will worship you under the different forms of your expansions, which will be named Durga, Bhadrakali, Bijaya, Vaishnavi, Kumuda, Chandika, Krishna, Madhavi, Kanyaka, Maya, Narayani, Ishani, Sharada, and Ambika. Krishna and Jogamaya appeared as brother and sister, the supreme powerful and the supreme power. Although there is no clear distinction between the powerful and the power, power is always subordinate. Power is always subordinate to the powerful. Those who are materialistic are worshippers of the power, but those who are transcendentalists are worshippers of the powerful. Krishna is the supreme powerful, and Durga is the supreme power within the material world. Actually, people in the Vedic culture worship both the powerful and the power. There are many hundreds of thousands of temples of Vishnu and Devi, and sometimes they are worshipped simultaneously. The worshippers of the power Durga, or the external energy of Krishna, may achieve all kinds of material success very easily, but anyone who wants to be elevated transcendentally must engage in worshipping the powerful in Krishna consciousness. So, Krishna book is so wonderful. And that's why, although Prabhupada was very careful about presenting the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada very, very specifically warned us not to jump to the 10th canto. He wanted us to very systematically approach Srimad Bhagavatam, gradually from first canto to second canto, and then gradually come to the 10th canto, because 10th canto is describing the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. 10th canto is actually describing the Supreme, Supreme Personality of Godhead. And His activities are difficult to understand, because His activities apparently appears to be human-like. Krishna in Vrindavan, the supreme, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, who always resides in Vrindavan, his appearance or his demeanor and his activities are very human-like. Therefore, we may misunderstand Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and even may run the risk of imitating His pastimes. That's why Srila Prabhupada was so emphatic about not approaching the 10th canto directly, but approach very systematically from first canto onwards. But here again we see Srila Prabhupada gave us Krishna book before completing the Srimad Bhagavatam, because Krishna book is the most important, the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is the most important aspect of Srimad Bhagavatam. The purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam is actually to take us to Vrindavan, take us to the 10th canto. But Krishna book is safe because Prabhupada presented Krishna book in such a way that no one will ever have any doubt that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And along with the 10th canto, in Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada gave his purport. Although not that elaborate, but through this purport, Prabhupada is making it very clear who is Krishna. Who is the son of Nanda Maharaj, who appears to be just an ordinary cowherd boy. He's not even a city boy. He's not even a son of a rich man, apparently. And his birth is so pathetic, actually. He was born in a prison. Even an ordinary human being gets the human child, gets the opportunity to be born under a lot of care and attention. But here Krishna is taking birth in such a way. No one is there to attend him, attend his mother, born in the prison. And but these are the Lord's wonderful pastimes. And this is the unique aspect of Vrindavan, Krishna's pastimes that are related to his activities in Vrindavan. Therefore, it is very important that we understand that Krishna's birth and Krishna's activities are divine. Janma karma chame dibyam evam javetti tattvatah Taktadeham punarjanma naiti mameti shuarjana. Krishna, in Bhagavad Gita, he started to explain. In the fourth chapter, Krishna started to reveal his identity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prior to that, he didn't do that. Okay. Thank you. Prior to that, actually, we didn't really get to know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna, to Arjun, is his cousin and an intimate friend. He's attracted to Krishna, but not as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's attracted to Krishna as his cousin, as his friend. And in the battlefield, Arjun was completely overwhelmed with emotion and lamentation. Now, how can I fight this battle against my relatives and friends, those who are so close to me? Bhishma, Drona. Bhishma practically brought Arjun up. When Pandu died and Arjun was just a little boy, he was brought to Hastinapur along with his other four brothers and mother Kunti. And at that time, Bhishma actually showered him with his parental affection. Dronacharya considered him to be more dear to him than his own son. And Arjun was also so attached to Dronacharya. Actually, to Arjun, Dronacharya meant everything. And now he has to stand up against them in this battle. He'll have to shoot arrows with an intention to kill them. Arjun was completely overwhelmed with emotion. Kathang bhishma mahang sankhe dronangcha madhusudana ishubhi pratiyotsami pujarha varishudana. How can I shoot arrows to Bhishma? Kathang bhishma mahang sankhe dronangcha madhusudana and to Dronacharya. They mean so much to me. They're so dear to me. So in this way, when Arjun was completely overwhelmed with emotion and lamentation, and he dropped his bow and arrow, and he also started to give reasons why this battle is not to be fought. He even said, I would rather give up everything and go to the forest and live like a mendicant. I would rather survive by begging. Still, I don't want to win this kingdom stained with the blood of my relatives and friends. But then, Arjun submits to Krishna. That Krishna, I do not know what to do. I'm completely bewildered. So please instruct me. I'm accepting you as my spiritual master. And then Krishna, when Arjun submitted himself to him, Krishna took the position of the spiritual master and started to instruct Arjun. And the first thing Krishna pointed out, that Arjun, you're speaking like a wise man, but you do not actually have any knowledge. And in this way, Krishna started to advise Arjun. In this way, in second chapter, Krishna establishes the difference between matter and spirit, difference between the body and the soul, and how the body is temporary, body is transient, body is only the external covering, and the soul is the real identity of the individual. And he spoke about the soul, he spoke about the nature of the soul, he spoke about the spiritual reality, but still he did not reveal his identity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the third chapter, he instructs about Karma Yoga. that how one should act. What is the purpose of our existence in this material nature? And how should one act in this material nature? And then in the fourth chapter, Krishna tells Arjun that, Arjun, this knowledge I first gave to Vivashvan. And then Vivashvan gave this knowledge unto his son Manu. Manu imparted this knowledge unto his son Ikshaku. And in this way, in a line of saintly kings, this knowledge was flowing. But unfortunately, due to the influence of time, this knowledge got distorted. Sakale neha mahata yoga nashta parantapa. And then he said, since this knowledge has been lost, not really lost, has been distorted. Prabhupada was very emphatic about that point. Actually, Prabhupada asked me to translate his books into Bengali. And I used to translate and then read them out to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada used to correct me. And I actually used the expression lost in this context. And Prabhupada told me, no, not lost. Yoga nashta. Nashta is not lost. But nashta is lost its real purport, real understanding, real meaning. Which is actually the knowledge got distorted. Another thing Prabhupada pointed out at that time is that this transcendental knowledge is never lost. The transcendental knowledge always remains with the proper recipient. So, apparently it may seem that the knowledge is not available, but this knowledge is always available. Some pure devotees are always there to continue the succession, to carry this knowledge. And besides that, in the spiritual sky, this knowledge is always present. So, so then Krishna pointed out, told Arjun, but since it has been distorted, now I am going to establish this knowledge properly through you. Sa evayang mayate adya yoga prakta purhatana. Why? Why should I impart this knowledge unto you? Because bhaktosi me sakha cheti. Because you are my friend and you are my devotee. So Krishna doesn't give this knowledge to anyone and everyone. This knowledge is exclusively meant for the devotees. Those who are favorably disposed to Krishna. Those who are offenders, those who are non-believers, this knowledge will never be available to them. Those who do not accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this knowledge will never be available to them. Even those who do not accept the personal feature of the Lord, those who think that the Absolute Truth is impersonal, to them this knowledge will not be available. So, and what? Then Krishna started to tell him. Now, then Arjun makes a very relevant question. Arjun asks Krishna that aparang bhavato janmo parang janmo vivashyata katham etad vijaniyam tamadu praktavaniti. That your birth was just the other day. You were born just the other day. But vivashyan, parang janmo vivashyata. Vivashyan was born so many millions of years ago. So how can I possibly understand that you imparted the knowledge to him? Then Krishna replied, Bohuni me vyatitani janmani tava charjuna. Tani ahang veda sarvani nattang betha parantapa. Many, many times I have taken birth, Arjuna. And so did you. But I remember about all my births, whereas you do not. So in this way Krishna established the difference between a living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jivatma and Bhagavan. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Therefore, he remembers everything. He never forgets anything. And then Krishna started to point out that he doesn't actually need to take birth. A living entity in a conditioned state needs to transmigrate from one body to another. But that is not the case about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He doesn't have to take birth. So Krishna says, Ajopi san abhayatma, bhutanam isharopi san, prakritiṃ śyām adhiṣṭhāya sambhavāmi ātma-māyāya. Although I am aja, although I am unborn, ajaopi san abhayatma, I am inexhaustible, infallible. And bhutanam isharopi san, and I am the Lord of all living entities. But prakritiṃ śyām adhiṣṭhāya sambhavāmi ātma māyāya. Taking shelter of my internal potency, I appear, sambhavāmi. Krishna appears, Krishna doesn't take birth. And Krishna can appear in whichever way he wants. He can appear by taking birth as a human being. He can also appear from the nostrils of Brahma. He can appear from nowhere. He can appear from a pillar, as Lord Nrsimhadev. Krishna can appear in any way. So that is Krishna's special prerogative as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is not subjected to the laws of material nature. Just as a king is never subjected to the law of his prison, similarly the Supreme Personality of Godhead is completely independent. He is Swarat. Is completely independent. And then Krishna says, why he comes? He comes, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. He comes with a purpose. Whenever there is a decline of religious principles, he comes to re-establish the religious principles. Dharma sangsthapanartha. And then Krishna says, janma karma chame dibhyam evam javetti tattvata tvakta dehaṁ punar janma naiti mameti suarjana. That when one understands that my janma, my birth and karma, my activities are dibhyam, are divine, are transcendental, evam javetti tattvata, in reality, scientifically, in as an absolute truth. Then he, just by understanding that Krishna's birth and Krishna's activities are transcendental, divine, he doesn't have to come back to this material nature again when he leaves his body. Tvakta deham, when he leaves his body, he doesn't have to come back again. Punar janma naiti mameti suarjana. So in this way, Krishna started to establish his identity in Bhagavad Gita. So we can see, if we just understand that Krishna's birth and Krishna's activities are transcendental to the laws of material nature, Krishna is completely independent, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna is not subjected to the laws of material nature, Krishna doesn't take birth like we do. If we simply understand that fact, then we will become free from the cycle of birth and death. That is Krishna's transcendental nature. That's Krishna's transcendental potency. If we simply understand Krishna as God, we'll become free from the bondage of birth and death. What to speak of Krishna being born as an ordinary human being? Just by understanding that Krishna's birth is transcendental, Krishna's activities are transcendental, we become free from the cycle of birth and death. We do not have to take birth again. We will become transported to the spiritual sky. So in Bhagavad Gita, in this way, Krishna established his identity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if what happens in Srimad Bhagavatam, In Srimad Bhagavatam it has been established that Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme, Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is not an incarnation. There are some misconceptions like that, especially in India. People think Krishna is an incarnation of Kshiradakshay Vishnu. Generally, the incarnations are expansions of Kshiradakshay Vishnu. And they think that Krishna is such an expansion, such an incarnation. But Krishna is not an incarnation. That has been established at the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, where different incarnations, 22 different incarnations of the Lord has been explained. And then what it says, that there are innumerable incarnations like that. These 22 are just examples of what incarnations are like. How the Lord expands Himself, or how the Lord descends in the material nature. But Krishna is not an incarnation. Ete changsha kala pumsha, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is not an incarnation. Krishna is the origin of all incarnations. Bhagavan Swayam. Swayam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Himself. That point also has been emphatically established in Brahma Samhita. Ramadi murtishu kala niyamena tishthan nana avataram akarod bhubaneshu kintu Krishna swayam samabhavat paramah pumanjo govindam adipurusham tamahang bhajami. Ram Adi Murtishu Kala Niyamena Tishthan. Incarnations like Ramchandra, Varaha, Nrisimha, Kurma, they are the expansion or expansions of Krishna. Nana Avataram Akarot Bhuvaneshu Kintu. In this way the Lord has manifested Himself in various incarnations. Kintu, but Krishna Swayam Samabhavat Paramapumanja. But Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Also, Jayadev in his Gita Govindam, he makes the same point. He speaks about 10 different incarnations of the Lord, Dashavata Stotram. But in the Dashavata Stotram, what he is saying, that Krishna took that incarnation. Keshava Dhrita Mena Sarira, Keshava Dhrita Kurma Sharira, Keshava Dhrita Sukara Rupa, Keshava Dhrita Narahari Rupa, Keshava Dhrita Rama Sharira. In this way, Keshav, Krishna, has assumed these forms. Krishna is not an incarnation. The eighth incarnation, he is describing Balaram. Keshavadhrita Haladhara Rupa. Haladhar is Balaram. In the eighth incarnation, Krishna appeared as Balaram. And along with Balaram, he came. But that is his original identity. So in this way, those who are situated in knowledge, they know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Brahma Samhita, Lord Brahma makes another point, a very beautiful point. Deeparchireva hi dasantaram abhupetya deepayate vibrita hetu samana dharma jastadrigeva hi cha vishnutaya vibhati govindam adipurusham tamahang bhajami. Just as the first candle
first lamp lights many other lamps. And when those lamps are lit, they give out the same amount of light. Then there is no difference between the first lamp, second lamp, third lamp, and so forth. But it is the first lamp that lights the other lamps. So in this way he establishes the fact that Krishna and his incarnations are same personality. There is no difference. He expands himself with his full potency. Krishna expands himself with his full potency. Therefore, there is no difference between Krishna and his incarnations. But Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Krishna comes in different forms, in different incarnations, in this material nature, to dharma sangsthapanarthaya, to establish, to re-establish dharma when the religious principles are broken. So those are his incarnations. But Krishna himself, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, comes once in a day of Brahma. That is once in 1000 Chaturyuga. Once in 4.32 billion years, Krishna himself comes. And that is the Krishna who manifested his pastimes in Dwapar Yuga, in this Chatur Yuga. But performing his Vrindavan pastimes, Krishna considers that I reveal my Vrindavan pastimes, which is very special, but how will anyone ever enter into that pastimes? That's why Krishna, in order to facilitate the living entities to enter into Vrindavan, appears again as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, to understand this original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is the son of Nanda Maharaj and who is eternally resides in Vrindavan, we have to approach Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's the only way. This point has been made by Nityananda Prabhu very clearly. Nityananda Prabhu took Jiva Goswami for a parikrama of Navadvip. Jiva Goswami was very young. Jiva Goswami, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and was going to Vrindavan from Jagannath Puri, Jiva Goswami was just a little baby. When Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami came to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Ramkeli, Jiva Goswami was a little baby. But he was brought to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami brought that little baby, maybe just a few months old. he brought him to have the darshan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And since then, Jiva Goswami became very attached to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Soon after that, Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami left home. His uncles left home, went to Vrindavan. Also his father, Anupam. Three of them left home, went to Vrindavan. But then his father died on the way. And Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami stayed on in Vrindavan. Jiva Goswami grew up with the memories of his uncles and the memories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And since his childhood, he became extremely attached to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when he grew up, he wanted to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dham, the place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's activities. By the time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left the planet. But Nityananda Prabhu was present on the planet, and Nityananda Prabhu took him to show different places of Mahaprabhu's pastimes. And he narrated Mahaprabhu's different pastimes in different places. And after this parikrama of Navadvip, Nityananda Prabhu started to explain why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, why Krishna came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he explained that after performing his pastimes in Vrindavan, Krishna considered, how will anyone ever enter into Vrindavan? Because Vrindavan is above Vaikuntha. And in Vrindavan, Krishna is not really worshipped as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Vrindavan, Krishna is not treated as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Vrindavan, Krishna is treated as a friend, as a son, or as a lover. So, or beloved rather. So, in Vrindavan, that's why Vrindavan is so special. Krishna's original abode of his pastimes and activities, Vrindavan is so special because his activities there are very unique. There he doesn't act like God. There God doesn't act like God. Therefore it's very difficult to recognize him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the way the devotees in Vrindavan treat him is also very unique. Because, as I said, there they don't treat him as God. There they treat him as friend. Friend means friendship takes place among equals. Now the question is, how can anyone become equal to God, to become his friend? It's impossible to develop friendship with God. And at least in friendship, one becomes equal to God. But in parental, one becomes superior to him. And God becomes his subordinate. Krishna is his child. He is the father and mother. They are the father and mother. And then, in conjugal, it's just like a young girl treats a young boy who she is in love with. That's how the gopis treat Krishna. When they get angry with Krishna, they chastise him. Radharani chastises Krishna. Radharani's friends chastise Krishna. Radharani tells Krishna, tells her friends, don't let him come near me anymore. I don't want to see his face. Next time he comes, just ask him to get lost. So how can anyone ever deal with the Supreme Personality of Godhead like that? That's why Vrindavan is a very, very special place. And that arrangement is made by Jogamaya. Jogamaya creates another kind of illusion. There is illusion created by Mahamaya, where we are in, and there is illusion created by Jogamaya. That is Vrindavan. What is the illusion? This illusion is actually forgetfulness. Inability to recognize God as God. Here, our forgetfulness is out of ignorance. Because we do not know Him, we are unaware of Him. We are ignorant of Him. But in Vrindavan, it is just the opposite to that. It's not that in Vrindavan they do not know that Krishna is God. But their love for Krishna is so intense that they don't recognize that He is God. One kind of ignorance or forgetfulness is due to ignorance, and the other kind of forgetfulness is of love. Out of intense love, one forgets the position of that person. He simply becomes the object of his love. That's about all. It doesn't matter who that person is. An example can be given. The son has become the state president. But to his mother, it's not important that he's a state president. She doesn't treat him like a state president. She treats him like her own son.
He may be a state president, he may be a big guy, but to her, her attitude is, even if you're a state president, so what? And her attitude is, even if you're not a state president, still, you would be that object of love that you are of me. So that is the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. Krishna, whether you're God or not, it doesn't matter. What really matters is that we are in love with you. And we cannot help but loving you. That's what really matters. All that matters is you, Krishna, and our love for you. So this is a very, very unusual relationship. This relationship is a very special arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead through His Yogamaya. This point has been very beautifully explained in the third chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila. Third and fourth chapter. I'll just read out some parts of it. I'll just read from text 12 onwards. Absorbed in such transcendental love, Lord Sri Krishna enjoys in Vraja with his devoted servants, friends, parents, and conjugal lovers. Lord Krishna enjoys his transcendental pastimes as long as he wishes, and then he disappears. After disappearing, however, he thinks thus: for a long time I have not bestowed unalloyed loving service to me upon the inhabitants of the world. Without such loving attachment, the existence of the material world is useless. Everyone in the world, everywhere in this world, people worship me according to scriptural injunctions. But simply by following such regulative principles, one cannot attain the loving sentiment of the devotees in Brajabhumi. There are two types of devotional service: Vaidhi Bhakti and Raganuga Bhakti. So generally, a devotee serves the Lord following the Vaidhi Bhakti, following the scriptures, the injunctions of the scriptures. That's called Vaidhi Bhakti. And by following Vaidhi Bhakti, when one attains perfection, he is elevated to Vaikuntha. Now he is saying, Krishna is considering that everywhere in the world people worship me according to scriptural injunctions. So worshipping Krishna according to scriptural injunction is called Vaidhi Bhakti. Just like the Bengali verse goes like, Shakol Jagote More Kore Vidhi Bhakti, Vidhi Bhakti Brajabhab Paite Nahi Shakti. By following Vaidhi Bhakti, one cannot enter into Vrindavan. Oisharjo Gyanete Sab Jagot Mishrito, Oisharjo Shithil Preme Nahi Mor Prito. Knowing my opulences, the whole world looks upon me with awe and veneration. But devotion made feeble by such reverence does not attract me. So following the scriptural injunctions, when one performs, when one executes devotional service, that devotional service doesn't please Krishna that much. Because when one, that is, when one recognizes the Lord as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he cannot develop a loving relationship. That awe and veneration creates a distance, creates a barrier. Oisharjo gyane bidhi bhajan koriya boikunthete jai chaturvidho mukti paiya. By performing such regulated devotional service in awe and veneration, one may go to Vaikuntha and attain the four kinds of liberation. So following Vaidhi Bhakti, one goes to Vaikuntha. So, the point here is, therefore, Krishna considered that he will appear as a devotee to teach how to worship Krishna in the mood of Braja, in the mood of Vrindavan. Now, here Nityananda Prabhu makes a very wonderful point. And Nityananda Prabhu makes the point that by worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, following Vaidhi Bhakti, one goes to Vaikuntha. But when one worships the Lord as a devotee, following Vaidhi Bhakti, then that enables him to become elevated to Braja. The way to enter into Braja is worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, following the Vaidhi Bhakti. But that Vaidhi Bhakti is offered to the Lord not as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but as a devotee. So sometimes we hear some people say that, oh, Prabhupada didn't give us everything, now there is a need for you to get Raganuga Bhakti and so forth. But Chaitanya Charitamrita and Nityananda Prabhu makes this point very clear. How does one achieve that Raganuga Bhakti? By following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu according to Vaidhi Bhakti, one will be elevated to Raganuga Bhakti. Not by jumping around like monkeys, skipping Vaidhi Bhakti. No. Rather, scripture very emphatically says, Shruti, Shriti, Puranadi, Pancharatra, Vidhin, Bina, Oikantike, Harer Bhaktir, Utpato, Iva, Kalpate. Devotional service, even though it may be very earnest, very sincere, but if it is not following the instructions or vidhi of Shruti, Shriti, Puran, Pancharatra, it will simply create a disturbance. And we are seeing what kind of disturbances are being created everywhere. Devotees are becoming confused. Good devotees, sincere devotees came to Krishna consciousness with all earnestness to make advancement. But they're becoming confused because of all kinds of unfortunate propaganda. So anyway, the point actually is, the way to approach Krishna in Vrindavan is by following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that's why Krishna actually came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna came as a devotee, just to create that good fortune for us, to enter into Vrindavan. He wants us to go to Vrindavan. He wants us to develop this very, very intimate loving relationship. And that's why he came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, we are very fortunate that we somehow took birth in this particular Chatur Yuga, 28th Chatur Yuga, in a day of Brahma. And in this Chatur Yuga, we are born not only in this Chatur Yuga, we are born in the Kali Yuga after Krishna performed his pastimes in Vrindavan, in Dwapar Yuga. And then also we took birth at a time when Srila Prabhupada came, after the time when Prabhupada came and spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. So we can see what an inconceivable good fortune we have received. And now it's up to us to take full advantage of it. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Sri Rukmini Dwarkadhish ki. Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani Ki, Shri Shri Gaur Nithai Ki, Samabeto Bhakta Vrinda Ki, Shri Krishna Janmashtami Ki, Shri Krishna Janmashtami's preparation Ki, Gaur Premanande Hari Hari. Does anybody have any question? Yes. Yes, Vaidhi Bhakti means actually, yeah. Yes, that's a good point. Vaidhi Bhakti means the scripture following scriptural injunctions. How the Lord should be worshipped. Now, how the Lord in this particular incarnation appearance, when He appears as a devotee, how should He be worshipped? Through Jaggai Sankirtana Prayer Jajanti Sumedhasa. This particular appearance of the Lord is in this particular appearance the Lord is worshipped in a very special way, and that is by Sankirtan. He Himself comes to distribute Krishna consciousness, and the way to worship Him is also by distributing Krishna consciousness. Yes, good. Hare Krishna. Any other question? Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj, for a spectacular class. You were making the point that Arjuna, you know, really, Krishna was asking him to make an unbelievably intense sacrifice in killing like Drona and Bhishma. Excuse me. We also hear that, like, close associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like Chota Hari Das, were like he was banished from his association and so forth, just for you know, looking at a woman lustfully as a sannyasi. So it seems like that as we get closer to Krishna, He's actually asking us to make a much more intense sacrifice. Could you make a comment on that?
Yeah. It's just like in the higher class you go, the examinations become tougher, right? When you are in a lower class, you know, it's very simple. A, B, C, D, B, A, T, bat, C, A, T, cat, and so forth, right? But higher you go, the exams become more and more difficult. But it may appear to be difficult, but you see, like, one is prepared to face those exams. And that is the requirement for being advanced. Like, higher you go, higher is your knowledge. Therefore, more difficult is the task, right, or test. In the spiritual platform, higher we go, deeper is our love for Krishna. More intense is our attachment to Krishna. Therefore, the tests also will be in relation to that. Like, as you pointed out, like Arjun, he's put into a very difficult test. Now Krishna is actually asking, where is your attachment? To grandfather Bhishma or to me? To Dronacharya or to me? Arjun had to make a choice. And what is Arjun's choice? Krishna, you. You are the only one who really matters. Similarly, the gopis of Vrindavan, they are also put to the test. Your husbands, your children, your family. Krishna, only you. And as also you mentioned, Chota Haridas, Mahaprabhu actually is using him to set an example. Chota Haridas is Mahaprabhu's eternal associate. How can he ever fall down? But through him, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is making a statement, giving an example. That if you really want to become attached to me, if you really want to come to me, if you really want to become an associate of me, just me and nothing else. Boiragi hoya kare prakriti sambhashan. If you are attached to me, you should have nothing to do with this material nature. But deal with the material nature in relation to me. Whatever you are dealing with in the material nature is for my sake. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not saying that you leave everything and go to the forest. Mahaprabhu is saying, no, stay in Los Angeles. Right? Have dealings with all kinds of people, but with an objective to bring them to my lotus feet. That is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is expecting from us. Hare Krishna. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna. Just to remind everybody, there's a sign-up sheet for Janmasthami bhajans on the back of the wall, temple wall there. If anybody wants to lead bhajans during Janmasthami, you can sign up there. Hare Krishna.